This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you.
I'm back, and I'm better than ever. Got a knack for making things better. Face facts, 'cause your opinion don't matter. This a maniac is gonna step.
You're listening to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, and I am Chris Clem. Thank you for listening. I'm back after a longer than expected mini hiatus. You know, I felt really good about not missing any episodes. I pre-recorded some before I went on vacation and was out of the country. And for some reason, when I got back, I just wasn't feeling it. I haven't been able to watch as many Cavs games so far this year, and one missed episode turned into six, and that was not my plan. And as my friend Dan Peek told me in a text today, it's my fault the Cavs have been sucking because I haven't put out any episodes in a while. So I'm going to make that up to you. And, you know, I got some more traditional episodes coming down the line, and then I'll have some surprise switch ups around Christmas time. But the crux of this episode is basically this. Last Tuesday, on a very spur of the moment, my wife and I decided to go to Milwaukee, which is only 86 miles from Chicago, and watch the Cavs play the Bucks. And it was great because the tickets were dirt cheap, but the Cavs played horrible. And, you know, if it was a playoff game, it would have sucked. And if we would have paid more than $25 to get floor seats, it would have been a problem, but we didn't, and it was kind of fun. So in order to get you in the right frame of mind for this, I searched Milwaukee Bucks songs on Google, and this was the number one result. A song called Milwaukee Bucks by not Joker the Bail Bondsman, star of BET Uncut fame, but the song is called Milwaukee Bucks by Frosty the Snowman, and it's produced by Ron Ron. And as far as I could tell, I've listened to it a couple of times now, and I don't think it has anything to do with basketball, but that's the name of the song, and it's the first thing that comes up on Google, and that's literally as far as I went when searching for this. So enjoy.
Teamwork makes the dream work. So make them feet work before I make your teeth hurt. You feel me? Bop. Tell a bitch Milwaukee I need my bucks. If it ain't about curbs, I don't give no fuck. Tell a bitch Milwaukee I need my bucks. Big bitchy face curbs or Milwaukee bucks. Tell a bitch Milwaukee I need my bucks. If it ain't about curbs, I don't give no fuck. Tell a bitch Milwaukee I need my bucks. Big bitchy face curbs or Milwaukee bucks.
It was Tuesday. I realized the Cavs were playing the Bucks, and it's not far to go to Milwaukee. I've been there many times. And I was like, hey, let me see how much tickets are online. And I was able to go onto StubHub, and a lot of sites, but StubHub seemed to be the cheapest. And they had upper deck arena seats for $6, fees included. And I was like, whoa, I could spend almost no money and go see the Cavs play in person. I haven't been to a game yet this year. This would be amazing. So I told my wife we should go. She was like, okay. And then she said, why don't we get better seats? What can we get for $25? Sure enough, we're right down there in the lower bowl for $25 after fees. Okay. You could have gotten courtside seats for this game for, I want to say it was $135. Apparently, people in Milwaukee don't like basketball because, you know, they make fun and say there's not a lot to do in Milwaukee. I actually think it's kind of underrated city and it's fun, but there's not that much to do. Why wouldn't you go see the reigning NBA champions on a Tuesday night? You know, I know somebody was arguing on Twitter with comedian Mike Polk about a joke he made on their attendance numbers, and it would be generous to say it was more than a third full. I don't know how many tickets they sold, and that might have been what they announced, but the arena is very small. And to see that many empty seats, there's no way in hell there was more than 5,000 people in that arena. But that's cool. I'm not fan-shaming. The Indians had one of the worst attendances in baseball, and they made the World Series. That's fine. I would just think there'd be more excitement to see LeBron, but I guess when it's a divisional rival and you've seen the Cavs play that many times, it's not that exciting. But it was good for me to keep in mind because I'm going to definitely go back. Because we went down there, we arrived right at 7 o'clock. The game started at 7:07. I was able to find free parking downtown without much hassle. So that was already a plus. We got in, got to the stadium. Whoa, we're hungry. We better get something to eat. This is where Milwaukee rules. I was able to get fried cheese curds from their concession stand because, of course, they would have fried cheese curds in Milwaukee. And, you know, they had all the regular stuff like pretzels and all that stuff and chicken fingers and everything. But the cheese curds weren't expensive either. It was like $4 and they gave you a shitload. It was amazing. And they were really good. It's fried cheese curds. You can't really go wrong with that. And if you've never been to the Bradley Center, it looks huge on the outside. And then you get in and it's basically, you know, a slightly bigger college arena, which makes sense because that's where Marquette plays. But it's just like the Jar Arena in Akron, except like three times as big. And honestly, you could have sat in the very last seat. And I say that about a lot of arenas, you know, there's no bad seats in the queue. And even like a place like the United Center, it's way bigger. There's really no bad seats at a basketball game. But this, it was like a lower bowl seat all the way up because of how small the arena was. And it was really, really old. And you can't tell that watching the game on TV, but it just felt like an old arena with the type of railings. There was a gap big enough on the railings going down on the side to the players' locker room that my wife could have gone right through the gap and fallen down if she wasn't paying attention. So imagine like a child going through something like that, or a three-year-old. And they said like the gorilla pits in the Cincinnati Zoo were really hard to get into if you're small. Like anybody who's drunk could have easily just fallen down and taking out Richard Jefferson as he walked to the locker room. So that's one of the things where it's like, oh, people weren't, it's not just hack comedians saying that kids are weak nowadays and everybody has it soft. No, like they didn't even have safety regulations. The railings there look to be about as safe as the ones the Galactic Empire installs on a Star Destroyer when they have those mile-high catwalks and that nobody even bothers to put a railing on. It was fun. It was cool being there. I like, you know, going to other arenas. It's not as interesting as baseball stadiums, but I've been to quite a few NBA arenas and I always like seeing the differences in construction and layout. And because even though they're all basically the same, it's crazy how different they can really be when they want to be. But the Cavs played horrible and they were up like 20 points in the first quarter. And then somehow in the third quarter, they got it. They tied. They might've been up by two after going down big in the second, and then they just stopped. This was the game J.R. Smith walked to hug Jason Terry off the court, and his guy got a dunk. And J.R. Smith afterwards did the interview with the ski mask on, referring to himself as his alter ego and not answering any questions. So that was the one bad thing about this trip. And it's clear to me now at this point in the season that Iman Shumpert is not a solution at backup point guard for the Cavs. He's not a solution at backup point guard for a high school team. The man cannot dribble at an NBA level. And every time he brings the ball up, I have an anxiety attack. I need to like get some medication because Iman Shumpert, if he would just spend as much time doing ball handling drills as he clearly does, making his hair look completely different from game to game, he might actually be okay at it. He might maybe even be mediocre, but he doesn't. And at this point, it's never going to work. He's a shooting guard that can't shoot that good, but he's an okay defender. He's a valuable player to have on your team, but not as a backup point guard. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Cavs, obviously, they missed Dele badly. And I knew they would, but he was out of the rotation at the end of the year, and I didn't think it would be a big deal, but they have no backup point guard, and it doesn't matter. They're the champions, and it's a regular season game in December, but it's very frustrating to watch. You know, and then they lost two more games that week. I don't know what to tell you. They were all winnable games, but they lost them all. And at least the Bulls game, they seem to have somewhat of an effort, except for LeBron just letting D D-Wade waltz right through every single time. So yeah, Milwaukee then lost to the Clippers, then lost to the Bulls, and now tonight they play to Toronto, which they already beat Toronto twice this season, so they already have the tiebreaker against them, and the game really doesn't matter. And as we all saw in the playoffs last year, Toronto's just not that good. So I do want to say this, though, about Milwaukee. I am a fan of the city. We went to this place called Vagabond afterward, and they had great tacos. That was wonderful. But they have a chip on their shoulder that is completely undeserved. There was people at the game holding up the Indians blew a 3-1 lead in the World Series. How in the hell does that even matter to you? You guys are not the Warriors. You guys aren't the Cubs. Who gives a shit what you think? How about Milwaukee fan? You worry about your team making the playoffs before you worry about taunting a Cleveland team about a team that's not even them. Your insult game is completely inept if you have to bring an Indians blew a 3-1 lead sign to a Cavs basketball game in December against a Milwaukee team that has nothing to do with any of those. Just stop, okay? The situations aren't comparable. And secondly, it makes no sense. And it makes you look sad, like you're the kid brother. Like, oh yeah, we'll get the Cavs by shaming them about something that's tangentially related to them in the most minor aspect. Don't even make a sign if that's what you're going to make, okay? Just eat your cheese curds and shut your mouth. There's no need for you to have a sign. I don't care how old you are. And if you're a kid, you should have better parents that would tell you that sign sucks and it's not witty and it's not creative. So that's a failure there. And secondly, to the guy that grabbed my arm and said, hey, great game, huh? When I turned around and I said, I'm a Cavs fan, as the back of my jacket says Cavaliers on it. And he goes, oh, I didn't notice. Ha, 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 ha. You guys won a December regular season game. You're going to go out of your way to taunt other fans in the arena like this means something? I really, really hope you guys make the playoffs because you're going to look really stupid afterwards. And I guess shout out to you for wearing the Craig Sager t-shirt. I guess I can't hate that, but I can hate you personally. And any other time I would... No, I wouldn't do anything. I was with my wife, and I really wasn't that upset because a December basketball game means nothing. Nothing. There was a lot of other weird stuff that happened that had nothing to do with the basketball game. A crackhead got in a fight with her boyfriend or pimp or something inside the Dunkin' Donuts that we were at, and the police had to be called, but the guy behind the counter wouldn't call because he said he can't. And that was a good traumatic note to leave the city on. So I don't know what happened there. I don't even know why I'm bringing it up, but I just keep thinking about it. So that's cool. It's been a long time since I've seen a bum fight in person in a downtown area. I thought I wouldn't see those anywhere outside of Akron, but Milwaukee is basically a bigger Akron, bigger in terms of its downtown and its people, but pretty much the exact same otherwise, which is kind of why I like it. So go to Milwaukee. Even if crackheads get in a fight right in front of you, you'll still leave with a positive memory of the experience. And their arena's fun. It's like going in a time capsule to 1975, and you can be like, wow, this is what an arena the Cavs played at before the Richfield Coliseum was built was like. Finally, I'll be back next week. I'm not planning on missing any more episodes. I did a bunch of shows in Ohio last month. I was at the Funny Stop and I met some listeners of the show. I said I'd give them a shout out, but it's been that long since I recorded an episode that I actually didn't because I had the other ones in the can already. So shout out to Cam and Jesse. Cam and his girlfriend, Jesse, he said he's a listener. So if you're listening, thanks for the support and I appreciate it. Anybody else, if you want a shout out, just meet me and tell me you listen to the show and I guarantee I'll mention it because this is like the fourth time I've done that. So if that means anything to you, thanks. I appreciate it. No one else tells you this. I think you're a good person and keep doing what you're doing. Now watch one of my listeners ends up being a murderer and I somehow indirectly endorsed it. I mentioned this before. I'm on the Lousy Weather Media Network and they have a bunch of other shows. And my dear friend Jeremy Shear has a show called Let the Hate Flow Through You, and he's always plugging my show on his podcast. So I'd like to say, listen to Let the Hate Flow Through You. A lot of his guest takes piss me off, But it's actually the sign of a great show when I'm actually getting angry listening to it, because that means people are saying something that's affected me that much. And it's really funny too. Check it out. Let the hate flow through you. You can find that at lousyweathermedia.com. Jeremy Shear and some other guy, El Hordano Diablo. I don't know him. He's all right. He likes a lot of trashy movies, but that's cool because so do I. But listen to that show and all the other shows they have, and I'll be back. Hopefully we'll have a live podcast later this month. That was fun last time. Thanks for listening. Castaway Toronto. There's another city that I visited on an NBA road trip. Nobody was an asshole like they were in Milwaukee, though. Much more polite. They really earned their designation up there in Canada. And honestly, the games don't matter at this point. The Cavs are the reigning NBA champions, and they will be all season. Mic drop. Go Cavs. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back Thursday. Have a good night, everybody. I gotta take it. Joe Tate's done. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.